Good evening. If you keep your Bibles open, Psalm 13, and let me pray for us. Father God, we thank you for your word. We come before you this evening with this difficult issue for us. And we pray that you'd help us to see new things in your word that will help us in our own individual situations. Amen. Back in the summer, I had reason to go to an accident, an emergency in France. I sat on a trolley in a corridor in A&E for many an hour, feeling woebegone and a bit lost and wondering if I knew that God was with me. What is my faith, I thought, if I don't know God with me at such times? What is my faith if I doubt his presence? Here we are at the third of our three evenings, taking the time to look at prayer. We've looked at how we engage with God. We've thought about how God speaks to us. And tonight we're looking at Psalm 13 and thinking about that experience when God seems silent. It did strike me that there's some positive in our title for this evening, When God Seems Silent, because that suggests that we've known a time when God has not been silent, when we've known his closeness or his voice speaking to us, and so we know the difference. If we struggle with prayers that are unanswered, then that implies we've known prayers that have been answered, and it implies that we're praying. What does prayer mean to you? To me, it's about a conversation with God, hopefully a two-way conversation where I stop speaking long enough to listen. It's about different elements in that conversation, thanks and asking for forgiveness and praying for others. Prayer might be on my own, it might be with others, it might be while I'm walking, it might be sat on my bed. I often pray out loud. Sometimes prayer seems to flow, other times it's a struggle. My mind wanders, it's full of what I need to do that day. I often feel I'm a pretty useless prayer. It's easier not to pray than it is to pray. Sometimes I think I'm just talking to myself and God has probably gone off to listen to somebody else who strings words together in a much better way than I do. I've had times, and I remember one particular time when my son Tom had an accident, that I couldn't pray, as my head was just filled with thoughts and fears when I tried to pray, and so I had to rely on the prayers of others at those times. And if you want to read a bit more around this subject, I recommend these books. Philip Yancey on prayer, he's got some good sections on unanswered prayer, and then there's two by Pete Gregg that you may be familiar with. One, an older one now, God on Mute. That's all about when God seems silent. And his more recent one, I think actually he's brought out another one since this one, but this is more recent, Dirty Glory. That's a really good book. So do grab those and perhaps invest in those if you want to read a bit more about this subject, because they're great books and I'm clearly not going to cover it all this evening. Just recently, I started to feel that my prayers were too much about me, and so I've turned back to the Psalms, as they have this great balance of expressing feelings, but also homing in on God and what he is like, and lifting our eyes. And that's what we see in Psalm 13, really. So tonight we're going to look at this psalm in relation to God seeming silent, and also look at the clues that it gives us for managing those times when God seems absent and doesn't answer our prayers. There are lots of reasons why God doesn't answer prayer, and those books will help. We'll touch on some of them this evening. So we see in this short psalm three groups of two verses, and wonderfully for me, they speak of three different areas which all begin with P. So you like that? Pain, prayer, and praise. Now, we don't really know what the pain is here. It could be that it's an illness that is threatening the psalmist's very life. It could be that there's an actual enemy, King David, who either wrote this psalm or for whom it was written, he had his fair share of enemies. Whatever it is, and maybe it's helpful for us that it isn't spelled out, the writer is overcome with worry. The idea of death and the enemy may just be pictures of some kind of threat that is overwhelming for him. But to add to whatever the pain is, God seems silent. The first verse is all about God. The psalmist feels that God has forgotten him, has deliberately hidden his face, turned away, and left him to cope with whatever it is on his own. It's the language of complaint and lament and mourning. The idea of God hiding his face is about him simply forgetting and ignoring us. And it also has that sense of God failing to help, refusing to take action that will cause healing and relief. It's a personal pain because there's a friendship with God that has clouded over. And then in verse 2, we can see the effect of God's silence. The psalmist's thoughts are all over the place. He's confused, he's doubting, his mind is a battleground, and his heart is full of sadness every day. In biblical language, the heart is the centre of the human spirit, from which springs emotions, motivations, courage, and actions. So the whole lot is in turmoil. His feelings are all over the place. He's not sure what to do. He's no confidence in doing anything anyway. And it's just all too much. And then as he looks outside himself, his enemy has the upper hand. For us, the enemy may be in the form of a person or in the form of an illness, whether physical or emotional, or in the form of other difficult circumstances, such as unemployment or a financial struggle. What is happening is too strong, and the psalmist cannot fight it. And then there is that phrase, how long? How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts? How long will my enemy triumph over me? This isn't something that's passing quickly. This is a long haul. This is going on, Lord. How long must I bear this pain? How long must I feel on my own? How long until you bring me some kind of relief? Every day I have sorrow in my heart. And there'll be some people here tonight who have that sense that something has gone on for too long, that it's never ending. If you've experienced grief and loss, as I have over the past 15 months, it's exhausting. It can be there every day. It feels like it will always be there. How long is this going to go on for, Lord? For those of us who experience chronic illness or depression or anxiety or battle with the use of alcohol or struggle in an unhappy marriage or grapple with a significant decision, it can feel like there is no relief, no answer ever comes, and God has forgotten us. Yet in this psalm, this very question, how long, comes out of the belief that God is the defender of the defenseless, that he is faithful and good. And so we can be bold, we can tell God how it feels, tell him our pain, and ask him where he is. We can ask him why he hasn't yet sorted things out, and how long it will be before he does so. But it can be a long haul. And perhaps when God is silent, you blame yourself. You think you've done something to offend him. Or you feel it just confirms what you thought already, which is that he has little interest in you anyway. There are things to think about if our prayers seem unanswered. Perhaps we've done something wrong that we need to bring before him. But equally, perhaps it's a time for waiting, a time for continuing to pray, despite the fact that it feels like a waste of time. A time to open up to others and ask them to pray for you and to stand together. A time to pray that through it you will be brought into a deeper relationship with God. But it can be painful. How long, O Lord? Pete Gregg, in his book Dirty Glory, says of Jesus, in a crisis, he is the first person I blame and the one I turn to for help. And I love that honesty and that those go together. And that's what we see here in Psalm 13. The words of pain turn into a simple prayer. Look on me and answer, O Lord my God. And he says, my God. He turns to God and prays for light for his eyes. Eyes in the Bible are linked with strength and restoration. And if your eyes have light, then you can see, you have hope, you have no darkness around you. It's a prayer that God would change his circumstances so that whatever it is that is threatening to overwhelm him will not succeed in doing so. Now, we too can use these very words of scripture when we don't know how to pray. I know it's an obvious thing to say, but these four verses are in the Bible. The pain and the prayer all express to God. The Psalms give us permission to speak out our pain, and they give us the words to use when perhaps we've run out of our own. Our experiences are all there in the Bible. So when God seems silent, remember his word. Jesus also felt abandoned by God. And when he did, he found the scriptures more relevant than ever. When Jesus cried out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was quoting from the scriptures. Likewise, Jonah, who had been running from God and prayed from inside the stomach of a fish, he used words that showed just how much he knew the Psalms, and they become his prayers. So when God seems silent, feed on the words he has spoken. We heard in Psalm 19 last week that it is God's word that gives joy to the heart and light to the eyes. The last two verses move the psalmist from despair and pain to delight and praise. And in the Psalms, you often find that kind of a journey across the whole book, but often also in individual psalms, you get that journey. And there are a few things here I just thought that will be helpful to us when God seems silent. Things that we can do to remind ourselves that God may be silent, but he is not absent. The first is that we have a choice to make. We can choose to focus on what we know about what God is like. Here the psalmist says, I trust in your unfailing love. There's a great emphasis on the word I, but I, said in our version here. As for me, I will trust in your unfailing love. Other people may trust in other things, may trust how things feel, but I will trust in your unfailing love, despite what is going on around me. We have a God who loves us, who is for us, not against us, as we will sing in a moment, and whose love never fails. If you're a Christian here this evening, you are a child of God. That is who God says you are, and that does not change. And that's linked with the second thing we can do, and that's to rejoice in the salvation that God has provided in Jesus. The bottom line in our lives, in all our lives, that matters most is that we are saved. Whatever we are going through now, no matter the sadness in our hearts, we can always be glad that we've been saved in Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, who took on human form and came to this earth, who knows exactly what it is like to be frustrated, sad, hungry, rejected, who knew closeness to God, but also God being terribly silent. Jesus, who died experiencing human pain and death for all of us. We can never say God doesn't know how it feels. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. We can be glad for our salvation, for all that God has done for us. He may be silent, but Jesus has promised never to leave us. He is never absent. So when God seems silent, we can focus on what we know of his character and on all he has done to save us. And we can remember that he has been good to us. Many psalms of lament which express God's silence include the word remember. Remind yourself of what God has done, that what you feel now you will not feel forever. Decide to remember. It's here in verse 6. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. None of us here has the same life story, but we will probably all be able to identify times in our lives that speak of God's goodness to us. It may be a person or a place or a book or a piece of music that have helped you to meet with God. It may simply be all the good things he has provided for you in the past, even if right now you question where he is. When I've wondered where God is taking me, when I've been fearful or doubted my own abilities, one of the things I've often prayed is, thank you, Lord, for getting me this far. And so it was great to find it here reflected in this psalm. And that brings me to my stone. It's a great stone, isn't it? This is Belinda's stone. And it just reminded me of this. In 1 Samuel 7, Samuel leads the Israelites to defeat the Philistines in a battle. And at the place where it happened, Samuel took a stone and called it the Ebenezer Stone, saying, thus far has the Lord helped us. God has helped you and me and St. Nick's this far. And there may well be times when he seems silent. You may be in one of those times right now. But it will not go on forever. He will lead us on. Perhaps the silence itself will be key in that, as it was for Peter in what he shared. God has a lot more in store. He is a God of unfailing love who has saved us and who has been good to us. He is for us, not against us. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called God's children. And that is what we are. So we're going to take a moment just simply to be quiet, and then we're going to sing together.